You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You're on 95BFM and we've got Steve in the studio. Morena, Steve, how are you going?
Good morning, not bad, thanks.
That is good to hear. It is a gloomy old day out there, but you know what? This is perfect film watching weather.
Isn't it just? That's a nice weather to behaviour segue.
Exactly. And what exactly are we talking about this morning? We're talking about the Fraud Film Festival, which is very exciting, on the 13th and the 14th, that is tomorrow and the day after, down at the ASB Waterfront Theatre. What is the Fraud Film Festival, Steve?
Well, the Fraud Film Festival, it's something that's kept me busy for the last sort of 6 months or so, rounding up a bunch of documentaries that have fraud in their DNA of one kind or another. Which turns out there's actually quite a lot of films that are about people ripping people off.
I think so. I've watched a fraud film or two.
Yeah, there's a couple out there.
Is it like a Schadenfreude thing? Do people like watching other people get screwed over?
Well, now I'm thinking about the Schadenfreude Film Festival might be quite a good idea. Which is, again, there's quite a few of those titles out there as well. It's a festival that started in the Netherlands, and it's basically an opportunity for people that work in the financial sector and fighting fraud and scammers to get together, watch some films and have some discussion panels around it, and also bring in some public engagement.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
So New Zealanders here can find out a bit more about some of this stuff as well. The first day of it's a very kind of business conference, so we bring a whole bunch of industry professionals together and we play documentaries followed by discussion panels. But the second day it's open to the public, and
awesome.
We have a number of sessions on Thursday the 14th that people can head along to.
So what kind of films are we talking about here? Obviously you said there's some sort of business-ended ones, but there's also, it's a bit broader than that as well. You've got some less just business fraud. There's lots of ways people can commit fraud in this world. So
totally.
What are we looking
and
at?
I think the most extreme example from a couple of years ago was when I played David Farrier's Tickled to a suited audience, and that was quite a strange experience for everyone, I think.
Yeah. I feel like I've said this on the radio before, but when I went to watch Tickled, there were some old ladies in the cinema and they thought they'd gone to see Sing Street and they'd walked into the wrong cinema.
Oh, gosh.
But they'd stayed. They just stayed for the whole thing.
It's because it's quite engaging, that's why.
Yeah, it is, but they were...
It would be difficult to leave because you've got to know what happens.
Yeah, they were reeling afterwards. They thought, like, I thought this was the Irish singing one. You're like, no, it's not.
So, yes, there's nothing in the program this year about that sort of specific behaviour, shall we say. But on Thursday, we've got the things are open to the public on Thursday. The day starts with a scam prevention session with the folks from Fairgo coming down to talk through some of the stories that they've done over the past year or so. Then at 1 p.m. we've got a documentary on the Panama Papers, which is the director of that's Alex Winter, who has made a couple of docos now, but he's probably better known to people as the dude from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure that isn't Keanu Reeves.
That is wild. I can't believe he's now a documentary
maker.
That's
not his official bio, but you see his face and it's like, oh, it's that guy.
It's that guy, yeah.
So he's made a great doco on Panama Papers, which obviously we're very familiar here with how that came uncomfortably close to a former prime minister and identified New Zealand as a prime destination for dodgy money sloshing around. This documentary is a bit more about the leak of the data itself, the process by which the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists came together to process that huge amount. It's the biggest data leak in history.
Yeah.
So the process by which they sorted through all that information and then some of the consequences. Like it did manage to touch some heads of state and make some very powerful people feel very uncomfortable.
I think it's really interesting with the Panama Papers as well, because it was huge news and then it did sort of quite quickly disappear again. Not disappear completely, but it wasn't... I think considering the scale of it, it did kind of almost get quite quickly swept through the news cycle in a way. So I think it's going to be really interesting to watch a documentary that sort of dives right back into that again and sort of goes, this is still this huge thing and these are the consequences of it as well.
Absolutely. And there's a discussion panel that follows that screening on Thursday with experienced people from the financial sector and the industry. So I think one of the things we'll be talking to them about will be, you know, this story disappeared quite quickly. It must have been a very difficult thing to report on.
Yeah.
From their point of view, it must. I imagine it would have been quite frustrating to see a big, complicated story. I mean, everyone knows the phrase, the Panama Papers, but what it actually means and its real implications, probably quite difficult to convey in a news bulletin, sadly.
I can definitely understand that. What else have we got on the bill there?
The other film screening that day at 3:45 p.m. is a documentary about a Canadian art forgery ring called There Are No Fakes. Some of you may be familiar with the, I'm going to put air quotes around this, the film, the official film synopsis describes him as a rock star, but he's one of the band members of the Canadian band Bare Naked Ladies, so we'll put air quotes around rock star for a minute.
Is it subjective?
I think it's probably a little bit subjective. He buys a painting by a Canadian Indigenous artist, and then I think he starts trying to figure out how much it's worth or looking at other paintings with the same artist, and just gets a whiff of something and starts to suspect his purchase might not be kosher.
Mm.
And as the documentary goes on, like many good storytelling investigative documentaries, it becomes about much more than the painting that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And uncovers a ring of surprise white dudes ripping off indigenous art.
Interesting. And, you know, the thing I find really interesting about that is this touches quite close to home in New Zealand. We've had, you know, instances of this happen here that are kind of not very well documented or known by people in circles and stuff like that. But it's a huge thing, art fraud. It's a massive industry as well. I think what I find really interesting about the concept of having a fraud film festival is it's often one of those things that you think happens overseas or to other people, but it is really international. It touches lots of different parts of the world, and also lots of different sectors as well, so it's kind of interesting to be exploring it like that.
Yeah. When you group all of the offending under the umbrella of fraud that affects all New Zealanders,
yeah.
I think it's actually the single most sizable grouping of offence by its impact on people.
Wow,
so there's plenty of it out there. So I mean, we're not trying to do too much of a how-to guide. If you're looking to come down and figure out how to commit fraud, it's we're not handing out pamphlets.
We haven't got a manual for it.
There's no pamphlets on that. But I think what's going to be particularly interesting on Thursday is having some good chats about these films after they've played, and you know, link them to the locally relevant elements.
Totally. Well, I think it's going to be really interesting. If people want to grab tickets, where can they go, Steve?
You can go to fraudfilmfestival.co.nz, or as it's at the ASB Waterfront Theatre, you can go to their site and pick up your tickets.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.